Open your Bible with me, please, to the book of Joshua, chapter number 1. And we'll look at this passage of Scripture and bring the message as a thought given to us in these verses. I appreciate this church. I appreciate your support to my ministry. Thank you for these many, many years of giving. And you've kept me on the road going. I'm still going to preach. I was up just a couple of weeks ago in Burlington, North Carolina, and I'll be going back up to Bristol, Virginia, just in a short time, and be going up at Toccoa, Georgia. And believe it or not, I'm preaching in the First United Methodist Church in Toccoa, Georgia. Now, the reason I'm preaching there is because my son-in-law pastors it. Amen. But God's so good to us. I appreciate his wonderful grace that he's given to us. I preached last week at Wood Station Baptist Church, just down around Lafayette. If you're from out of town, it's Lafayette. But if you're from the area, it's just Lafayette. Amen. Praise the Lord just for the privilege to be able to go. Amen. The Lord giving us strength and keeping us going on the road for his glory. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, if you will. Give you just a little bit of rest from your seat. And we've got plenty to eat, so we don't have to be in no hurry. I'm glad we can't smell the food over here. I've preached when I could hear the coffee pot perking in the back, and the food aroma coming out in the service. You're talking about rushing it up. Those folks was wanting me to rush it up. Amen. But I told them, I said, I want to preach about 20 minutes. I said, I want to, but I never have. Amen. Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee in all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Would you pray with me, please? Our Father, thank you today for the privilege to be back to Philadelphia. I pray that you'll bless this service. Lord, I pray you'll bless the meal, and might this day be so real to us in this hour. I pray, dear Lord, that you'll anoint me, give me the spirit of my calling, and touch ears that they might listen, even hearts to receive and wills to obey, that we might put the word of God in the shoe leather and be doers of thus saith the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. I pray that you'll just be with us in this hour. For Jesus' sake, save some precious soul and touch your children, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm preaching this morning on the subject, God's special promise. I'm glad God has given us some promises in his word that truly is special. And here's one of them. And it's located in verse 5, where he says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. You know, God is not a respecter of persons. What he said to one, he said to all. Thank God he'd be with us just as he was with Moses. And, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could get a computer printout every day telling us what we're to do and what we can expect God to do in our lives? Well, I want to tell you, we've got something better than a computer printout. We've got the precious Word of God to direct us and challenge us along the way. So I'm going to share with you about how God was with Moses, and then look at how he's going to be with you and I in this walk of life. Now, that was it was simple for Joshua, because he had been Moses' minister for the past 40 years. He had seen firsthand exactly how God had been with Moses. But for you and I, who were not with him, I want to share with you this morning just how God will be with us in the days ahead, as he was with Moses in his lifetime. First of all, I want to say God was with Moses in a time of disablement, a time when Moses could not help himself. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to face hours such as that, a time when within yourself you feel so inadequate, you feel so small that you just can't do anything without God. There's going to be days when you recognize how disabled you are, when you need help from God in this life. Moses was helpless within himself. You might ask the question, preacher, when did this happen? It happened when Moses was born. He was born under a sentence of death. The soldiers were told to take every male child that was born in Israel and slay them, do away with them, because they were gaining in number and they were afraid that they were going to grow to such an extent that they would overcome them. So Moses was born under that sentence. But the Bible said his mother hid him for 3 months. She saw when he was born that he was a goodly child, the Bible said, and so she hid him. I can imagine that there were some real anxious moments in that city during that time when the soldiers would come through. No doubt Jochebed, the mother of Moses, would pray and say, "Oh God, please don't let the baby cry while the soldiers are near that they might hear him." And it come to the place, after hiding him and caring for him for 3 months, that it came to the place that she could no longer hide him and care for him in the home. So she went down to the river and planted a little ark, a little boat, and she pitched it within and without where it would be waterproof and nothing could get in. And then she took little three-month-old Moses and put him in that ark. And then she dispatched Moses' older sister, Miriam, to stay there in the reeds there by the river, that she might look after him during the day until Moses' mother would come and get him at night. And so we can see the situation. God was with Moses in a time when he could not help himself, just a baby with a sentence of death upon him. But thank God the Lord came through for him. God was real to him. And the Bible tells us that as Moses was in that little ark, one day the Pharaoh's daughter came by. And just at the right moment, I don't know exactly how God did it, but just at the right moment, Moses began to cry. Might have been that God turned up the sun and focused it right down in Moses' face to irritate him. But I just sort of believe maybe he dispatched an angel. and said, I want you to go down, and when I tell you, I want you to pinch that little baby. Amen. And so Moses began to cry. And Pharaoh's daughter sent her handmaidens down, and they took him out of the river, and they brought him to Pharaoh's daughter. Another miracle takes place. You see, when she looked into his face, God performed a miracle and caused her to love that little three-month-old baby. Thank God. I tell you, God's got his way of moving and working in our lives when we can't work within ourselves. She said, you know, if I just had somebody that would take care of this baby and nurse it for me, I'd keep it and raise it as my own son. Can you imagine the scene that day? I can see it now. Those bulrushes shaking, and a little stringy-headed girl runs out and says, Madam, did I hear you correctly that you said if you could find somebody that would nurse this child and care for him, that you'd keep him and raise him as your own son? She said, that's right. That's what I said. She said, I'd like to recommend a lady to you that will be glad to take him and care for him. Can you imagine the scene when Miriam came into the house and said, Mama, you'll never believe what's happened. No doubt Jochebed said, Miriam, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be minding the baby. She said, but Mama, that's what it's all about. A miracle has taken place, and Pharaoh's daughter has found the baby, and she wants to keep it as her own son, but she wants you to raise it up. Praise God. I tell you, not only did Jochebed receive her son Moses back and not have any fear of the soldiers that they come through town, but also, thank God, she received wages for raising her own son. You just can't beat God's plan. Amen. I mean, God's got his way of taking care of us when you and I are disabled, when we're unable to do it ourselves. God will come on the scene and miraculously do it for us. So God was with Moses in a time of disablement. Secondly, I want to say that God was with Moses in a time of deliverance. After Moses had spent 40 years over on the backside of the desert, you know, before God could use him to lead the children of Israel, he had to train him by leading a little flock of sheep for those 40 years. Amen. And then he sent him down to Egypt. But in a time when Moses needed deliverance, I want to tell you something. There's going to be some times in your life where you're going to need deliverance. You're going to need God to set you free from the bonds of sin that come in this walk of life. But I'm glad, thank God, just like God was with Moses, he'll be with you and I in the same manner in this life. You say, preacher, what happened? Moses was facing a great problem. You see, God had spoke to him from that burning bush and said, I want you to go down into Egypt, and I want you to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Boy, I'll tell you, no doubt Moses got upset. He tried to get out of it. He tried to make excuses, but God sent him down to Egypt in a time when Moses needed God to show up in his life and bring deliverance. The Bible tells us that he went before Pharaoh and said, God sent me. And God said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, who is God that I should obey him? Then about 10 plagues later, amen, Pharaoh knew who God was. And Pharaoh knew what God could do. And so the children of Israel was released from Egypt at that point in time. Third, I want to say God was with Moses, not only in a time of disablement when he couldn't help himself, not only in a time of deliverance when he needed God to manifest himself to others, but also he was with him in a time of destitution. Moses now leads the children of Israel out. They come to the Red Sea. Moses looks over the situation, and now he feels trapped. He looks before him. There was a body of water. Humanly speaking, it would be impossible to cross over. He looks on his left side, and there are mountains. On the other side, there's more mountains, unsurmountable. They could not cross over them. And they look behind them, and there was the entire army of Egypt ready to drive them in the sea and be done with them once and for all. Moses was in a sad situation, and he began to pray. And he said, God, give us deliverance. You know how God answered his prayer? He said, Moses, why criest thou unto me? Isn't that strange? I mean, there's a time when you don't need to pray. You say, when could that be? It's a time when you already know what to do. In Exodus 13, the last two verses says that God gave them a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day to lead them the way. Hey, that tells me where that cloud was when Moses was praying. It was hanging out over the sea. And Moses said, surely God's brought us this far and he led us along the way, but surely he don't want me to step out into that sea. I'm glad when you need a miracle in your life, when nothing short of a miracle from God is needed, I'm glad that as God was with Moses when he faced that Red Sea situation, God will be with you in the same manner. Someone has said, Exodus 13 said that Israel came out of Egypt harnessed. The word harnessed means that they marched out in rank of five. Boy, I like that number. That's the number of grace. And that's how God brought them out of the land of Egypt. Amen. It was by his grace. But did you know when they got down to the Red Sea, in order for them to cross over that Red Sea in one day, and the Bible says in Exodus 14 that they did. They crossed over that sea in one day. God would have had to have rolled back the waters of the Red Sea for 3 miles wide. And Israel would have had to have walked 5,000 abreast in order to get across that sea in one day. Well, praise God. I want you to know something. It's no more miracle for God to open the Red Sea for 3 miles than it would be for 3 feet. Amen. And, you know, when they got down to the Red Sea, he brought them out by grace. But when they got down there, oh, hallelujah, that more grace was needed. Amen. And instead of marching out by five, they marched out by 5,000 and went across the Red Sea to the other side. I'm glad God will be with us in a time when we need a miracle in our lives. I can remember so well one night about 2 o'clock. When I pastored here at Philadelphia, about 2 o'clock, my phone rung. I answered the phone. My daughter was on the other end. She said, Daddy, please come quickly. I need you. I said, honey, what's the matter? She said, it's Terrell. Terrell's my only grandson. She said, Terrell's in the hospital, and they say he's not going to make it through the night. Daddy, please come. Bring Mama, I need you. I said, honey, we'll be there as soon as possible. We got ready as soon as we could, started up the road from here to Chattanooga to go to the Erlanger Hospital, Children's Hospital, where Terrell was. And on the way up, we got just past Redbud Road. And God came down in that car and spoke to my heart. And said, don't worry, son. Everything's going to be all right. Praise God. I reached over and caught Evelyn by the hand. And I said, honey, I just heard from glory. And God said, everything's going to be all right. And when we get there, And thank God, we went up Chattanooga. That night, he was at the point of death. The next day, he was at the point of death. For 3 days, they said he'll not make it another day. But on the third day, they came out and said, it's over. He's out of it. Things are fine now. He's going to be all right. Oh, my family began to rejoice. I said, hey, y'all go ahead and have your time and rejoice. I did my rejoicing coming up I-75 when God spoke to me the other day and told me everything's going to be all right. Amen. When you need a miracle from the hand of God, I'm glad he's got one for you, and God will come through for you every time. In your time of destitution, God will show up and bring a miracle into your life where you can progress further for the glory of God. Hey, not only did Israel get across that Red Sea, but Egypt came behind them and was going to destroy them. Oh, they got out in the midst of the sea, and God closed the waters up. In fact, the psalmist said he took the wheels off the chariots where they could not retreat, and they perished there in the Red Sea. Recently, I saw it on the Discovery Channel. They had found a path across the Red Sea where Israel had crossed over. There was chariots without wheels on it. Ooh, hallelujah. I mean, there was stuff grown on them, but you could see the wheels and the chariots as they were there. And they said, this is where Israel crossed the Red Sea. I said, praise God. God not only will help us and deliver us in our time of destitution, but he'll destroy our enemy, thank God, and take care of them at the same time. Amen. God will be with us just as he was with Moses as he needed a miracle in his life. Then I want to say also, God was with Moses in a time of difficulty. When Moses faced the issues of life day by day in this world, he needed God to show up and be with him. And I'm going to tell you something. In your daily activities of life, thank God the Lord will be with you and guide and deliver you day by day in this world. You know, it was in Acts 6. It was in the daily ministration that the children of Israel failed, or the church did fail God in their services. Oh, friend, it's those day-by-day things in life that God shows up and manifests himself to us that we need him so much. They got out in the sea, and it was a desert land. But, they had no water to drink. I mean, they began to chide Moses and said, why have you brought us out here to perish? And Moses gets in touch with God. And the Lord said, Moses, I want you to go down to the rock. I want you to take that rod that you hit the Red Sea with and crossed over. And I want you to go down to Horeb, and there I'll meet with you. And thank God, Moses went down and he said, now smite the rock. I just want to say thank God that he smote the rock instead of smiting the people. Amen. And did you know 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 4 said, and that rock that followed them was Jesus Christ. Oh, thank God. I'm glad that he died in our place that we wouldn't have to die. We can live forevermore because of him. Amen. Thank God. When there was no water to drink, God performed a miracle and gave Israel water to drink. Someone has estimated it would take 11 million gallons of water a day for the bare necessities of Israel's need. Praise God. God can take care of it. God can do it. In fact, the psalmist said about this situation that there were streams in the desert from this rock that Moses smote. Thank God. Plentiful supply comes from God because the rock was smitten for you and I in this life. I'm glad. Thank God. In a time when they needed refreshment from God, he came and met with them as they faced the difficulties of life. Then also, they had no food to eat. There wasn't a food line. Amen. There wasn't a food city. There wasn't a Kroger. Wasn't even a Kmart along the road. And they had no food to eat. Again, they chided Moses and said, "Why have you brought us here to perish when we don't have anything to eat?" I've been to that place where they crossed over. I flew over it in a plane. And I saw that desert. My, what a desert land it is there in Gaza. And the Bible teaches us, thank God, that Moses was there and they had no food to eat. When he talked to God about it, he said, "You tell them to go out every day and pick up enough food for one day. And the next day, I'll have a fresh batch for them." They call it manna. The word manna really means, what is it? They never did find out, but they knew it was from God. God took care of them, thank God, and brought them daily provision to take care of them along the journey from Egypt to Canaan. God brought them food. Someone has estimated to feed that nation two meals a day would have cost no less than $25 million just to feed them for a day. Well, praise God. Didn't make a dent in God's armor. Didn't make a dent in God's treasury. Amen. He took care of them along the way. Now, let me tell you what happened. There must have been some Baptists in the crowd. They said, "Now, we're tired of coming out here every morning and picking up this manna when there's plenty left. I'm going to get enough for 2 days, and I'm going to sleep in tomorrow, and then I can eat." Well, he gathered up enough for a second day and took it home. When he got up the next morning, the Bible said it was full of worms, and it stunk. Hey, preacher, you know how we got so many stinking Baptists in our churches today? They're trying to live on yesterday's blessings. Pick up a new batch for today. God will bless you with them. Amen. Thank God along the way of difficulty. God was with Moses as they traveled across that desert. Not only was he with them when they had no water to drink and no food to eat, but they were sheltered from the heat and the cold. Only those that were under the canopy of that cloud by day and that pillar of fire by night. Hey, I've been in that desert, and did you know it can get up to 130 degrees in that desert land? And at night it gets down to freezing? What a contrast. But thank God, those that were under that canopy, God was with them. He gave them a shade by day with that cloud hanging over them. Hey, whoa, hallelujah. I'm glad that's a reality. God gave them a cloud to shelter them from the sun. And then when night come, that cloud turned to fire and they stayed warm. Whoa, glory to God. Those that were under that canopy, thank God, they kept warm during the night and shaded during the day. God was with them in a time of difficulty when they needed help along the way. He shaded them by day and heated them by night along the way for God's glory. Then there was not a Dillard's. Wasn't even a Walmart along the way. And they didn't have any clothes. Changes of clothes to wear. And you can read about it in Deuteronomy 8. The Bible said that in their clothes waxed not old, or did not wear out, and their shoes waxed not old. Oh, hallelujah. 40 years. Amen. 40 years they's in that desert, and their clothes never wore out. Deborah, how'd you like to wear that outfit you got on right now for the next 40 years? I tell you what, it eliminated that going to the closet and finding nothing to wear. Amen. They didn't have to make any choices. Their clothes waxed not old. For 40 years, God took care of them. Someone suggested that they might have brought their dresses out and put them in a pile. Got a different one every day. Well, that might have been so, amen. But God took care of them for 40 years of wandering in the wilderness as they crossed over to the land of Canaan. And God was with them in the time when they needed him most, in the time of difficulties as they faced day by day issues in this walk of life. God will be with you when you face the issues of life. When the day-by-day issues of life come, God will supply what you need. Look to him instead of somebody else, and God will take care of you. Finally, I want to say God was with Moses in a time of death. Not only in a time of disablement when he couldn't help himself, not only in a time of deliverance when he needed God to show up and manifest himself to others. In a time of destitution when they faced the Red Sea crossing. In a time of difficulty as they crossed over the desert land into the land of Canaan. But God was with Moses in the time of death. If you still got your Bible open to Joshua 1, turn back a couple of pages. And look at Deuteronomy 34 verses 5. Through verse number 7. And we find that God was with Moses in the time of death. Hey, I'm glad that God don't give us grace to live in this life and then forsake us when we come down to die. You say, preacher, I'm a little bit afraid of death. That's a pretty good sign that you're not ready to die. Amen? Because when you come to that place, thank God, God will give you not only living grace, but he'll give you dying grace. Amen. Amen. God will be with you as he was with Moses in the time of death. Look at it with me, please. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he, that is God, buried him, that is Moses, in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. But look at the shape he's in when God took him. You know what I believe? I believe God took him on the mountain and smothered him to death with love. Praise God. What a way to go. Amen. Just being loved by God. And the Bible said, and Moses was 120 years old, and his eye was not dim. Hey, I can see you fine out there. But when I look down here, I can't hardly see nothing. Amen. But Moses, 120 years old, still had perfect eyesight. The Bible said in the latter part, and neither his natural force abated. He was as strong as ever when he come down to die. Thank God, God just took him up and smothered him in love and carried him home to to glory. Hey, that's how God will treat you. When you come down to die, God will just come down and smother you with his love. I've been around those that have went on from this life into the next many a time. I saw many miraculous things happen when God shows up. I can remember when I was in Chattanooga pastoring in the area. I can remember so well. I had a preacher to call me one day, and he said, "Brother Bob, I don't have a pastor. I'm my own pastor, and I face some situations sometimes when I need help. I need counsel. I need some help along the way." He said, "Would you be my pastor?" And I said, "Why, sure, preacher. I'll be glad to. Any help I can offer, I'll be glad to help out." He said, "I appreciate that, preacher. When I need you, I'll call on you." Well, it come to pass, one day he called me, and he said, "Brother Bob, I need you to pray." I said, what is it, preacher?" He said, "My mom just went home to be with the Lord. She just died a minute ago. And I thought I'd call you and get you to pray." I said, "Well, thank you, preacher. I'll be glad to." I said, "I pray that God will give you mercy and grace during this time." He said, "Well, that's not really what I'm asking to pray about." He said, "My family, some of them are still away from God. I want you to pray that God will use mom's death, that they might come to Jesus." I said, "I'll be glad to." But then he said, "Preacher, we were having to stay with mama around the clock. She was in a coma. Hadn't spoken for 3 days. And so we were taking shifts to stay with her around the clock." He said, "It was my time." He said, "I was leaned up against the wall in a chair studying a message that I was going to preach Sunday." He said, "All of a sudden, mom spoke. She said, 'Son, it's true. They are pure gold.'" He said, "Man, I jumped out of that chair and then ran over by the bedside and I said, 'Mama, are you seeing heaven?' She said, 'Son, it's true. They are pure gold.'" And he said, "Mama, do you see that river that's in the midst of the city?" Praise God, he had me stirred up then. Amen. I said, "What did she say, preacher?" He said, "She didn't say anything. She just raised her head and went home to glory." I said, "She wasn't looking for a river. She was waiting in it." Amen. She saw the other side. Thank God. I'm glad God will give you a glimpse of glory when you come down to die. Many of you can remember Brother C.L. Roach that come here so many times and preached. I think Brother Jack was his pastor, wasn't he, Jack, when God called him to preach. And Brother C.L. was my best friend. We had it set, which one of us died first, the other would preach the funeral. Well, he died before me, and I preached his funeral. But I was with him when the doctor told him that he'd never seen anybody that had any more cancer than he did. He said, "Every time I cut, it was cancerous." He said, "I just sewed you back up. There's nothing we can do for you." He said, "Well, doctor, I suspected that. In fact," he said, "I told Brother Bob just a few minutes ago, I believe God's going to take me home." And the doctor was in tears when he's talking to the oncologist come in. And she was in tears, and she said, "Mr. Roach, I don't have anything to offer to you, but just to tell you that we'll keep you comfortable till you die." And he said, "That's fine, ma'am." He said, I'm glad God's going to be with me." Well, he went home to die at home. I was with him that day. I can remember it so well. They'd brought him in a hospital bed, and Jackie was sitting on the other side, and I was on this side. And Brother Sale was talking about old times and how some great times we'd had together. And all of a sudden, he's looked up into the ceiling. And I said, "CL, are you seeing something?" Sister Jackie said, "CL, if you're seeing something, tell Brother Bob about it." He said, "Yeah, Jackie." He said, "There's your daddy standing right there." He said, there's Mom over here." He said, "I can see him." Praise God. I'm glad God will give us a glimpse of glory. Amen. Amen. They said when Dr. R.G. Lee was come down to die, that he told his family, "I can see that city that awaits me on the other side." Well, that's no small wonder, because the Bible said in Acts 7 that Stephen saw that city on the other side when it come his time to die. And the Lord standing at the right hand of God on high. I'm glad God will be with you in the time of death, just as he was with Moses. Would you bow your head with me? Stand, if you will, and bow your head. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Will not fail thee. God wants to be with you in your time of crises in life. If you're disabled, if you need a miracle from God, if you need God to show up and show deliverance, he'll do so. Whatever the need is, I'm just glad to say thank God. God will be with you. If you're here lost this morning, I want you to know you're missing out. Because the Bible said precious in the sight of the Lord. God bless you, sister. Thank you for coming. Thank you for stepping out and coming. God will be with you. God will be with you when you have need in this life. When you face the daily issues of life, God will be with you if you'll just look to him. I believe he wants us to look to him. I believe he wants us to depend upon him. And God will bless us as we do so. Our Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you move in this altar service. Oh God, I pray that sinners will come. I pray that the saints will be renewed and their hearts warmed and blessed in this hour. For Jesus' glory, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.